Hi, good morning. I'm Janusia. I would like to welcome you to the third Advent Sunday at Whitley Bay Baptist Church. The whole meaning of Christmas could be explained in one little four-letter word, love. God sent His pure gift of love to us at that first Christmas. May our hearts be stirred by this amazing love so that it can be spread out into our community. Before we have the lighting of the candle led by the light group and represented by Helen, I would like to invite you to show Jesus' love by responding to the Tear Found Christmas appeal. For more information, please visit our website.
Today is the third Sunday in Advent, and Helen will be lighting the candles. We thank you, Jesus, for the love you gave. As we prepare for Christmas time, light of the world, shine on us.
Let's pray together. We come into your presence, Father God, this morning, in order that we might honour and bless the name of Jesus, who has done amazing things for us. He came as a baby, was born as a human, and understands our life. Yet he made the way possible for us to be reconciled to you by living that life in accordance with your law and then laying down his life on the cross for us. We thank you, God, that we are now counted as your children, that we have your spirit living within our hearts, and we bless you that he enables us to worship you and to adore you. So we come this morning as a gathered people, not in one physical place, but in heart and soul and mind, gathered together to worship and to honour you, to hear your word and to proclaim your love for us. We honour you and bless you in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.
Let's do this.
Today's reading is John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, and I'm reading from the NIV translation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, his name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father in heaven, lead us not into temptation, God deliver us from the enemy. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Give us each moment all that we need. Forgive us our sins as we forgive the ones who have sinned against us. Our Father in heaven, lead us not into temptation, God deliver us from the enemy. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. and the glory forever. And let's pray, and as we do, remember, our God is a mighty God. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Lord, we seek your face now, as our world faces the situation of this virus and the pandemic. We pray for healing for those that are sick. We pray for the vaccine to be disseminated quickly. We give you thanks, Lord, that there is now a vaccine. We pray, Father, that you would free our world from this terrible disease, and that we would look back on this and see your faithfulness in all that has happened. We pray, Lord, for patience and for your help as we face the restrictions, both nationally, internationally, and even close to home with isolation. Lord, remember the difficulties that each person has in isolation and restrictions, not being able to see people, and the impact on their mental health, and the difficulties that that practically brings. Lord, we ask for freedom, we ask for strength, and for courage in these difficult times. We pray too, Lord, for our government and the decisions that need to be made with regard to what is possible and what is not. And we pray that quickly churches would be able to return to their premises and give you praise and glory and honour as you deserve. We thank you that we are in a free country in terms of being able to worship and not having restrictions placed on us in terms of who we worship, that we have true freedom. May we be thankful and grateful for that. Lord, we pray too for those in our church who are in need of prayer. There are many of those, Lord, who are sick or who are recovering. All of these people who are known to us in our church fellowship who have sickness or difficulties at this time. We pray too, Lord, for the Spears and Shrubsole families working with BMS Ginnibor Hospital. And we pray for Brian and Jackie Shivers joining the team in 2021. We pray too, Lord, for the CLT team, the search team, who are continuing the process of appointing a new team leader. We ask for your blessing upon them, for your help, and for the right decisions to be made in terms of timing and all things that are related to moving on from having Pastor Paul as our leader and having now someone different. And in recalling that, Lord, we pray for Paul and Jill and their family as they make a new life for themselves in a different circumstance. Please protect them and keep them safe. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you in prayer. We give you praise that you will listen to our voice. There are many psalms that recall how you were called upon and you acted. And Lord, we call upon your faithfulness, your compassion, and your forgiveness at this time upon our world, upon our nation, upon our church, and upon our families. Lead us, Lord, to the place that you would have us be in. Keep us safe and protect us from the evil one, that your name would be glorified. Please, Lord, hear our prayers as your servants. Hear our thoughts and our intercession and our thanks. For you are our Father and we are your people. And we claim the sacrifice of Jesus as our Saviour. Let us now say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This is the third week of Advent, and as you can see, things are getting a bit more Christmassy around here. In these first 3 weeks of Advent, we're looking at the promise of God. The promise to provide a way to overcome our sinfulness and restore our relationship with Him and with each other. In following our journey from the first time the promise was given in Genesis 3:15, when the man and the woman first sinned and chose to go their own way rather than God's ideal way, through the very long history of Israel, through whom God would deliver his promise, which we looked at last week, today we come to the fulfillment of his promise. In Genesis, God said redemption would come through the offspring of the woman. The prophets spoke as God led them to show that the one who came would be in the line of King David, Israel's greatest king, and would be one who would reign forever, but would be like a shepherd who would care for his people and bring peace. More than that even, he would be Emmanuel, God with us. God himself would come as a human born in Bethlehem. The prophets also saw that it would be through his personal suffering, in which he took the guilt of our sin upon himself, that he would restore our broken relationship with God and make a way for us to be free from the guilt and shame of all our waywardness. Those Old Testament people looked forward to the time of fulfillment, and now the time is right for the fulfillment of that promise. The New Testament begins with four Gospels, four eyewitness accounts of Jesus. Gospel literally means good news. The Gospels of Matthew and Luke begin with the birth of Jesus, the familiar Christmas story we celebrate once again in 2 weeks' time. We read in Matthew chapter 1 that Joseph was betrothed to Mary, legally engaged to marry her, we would say. And she was expecting a baby, and he knew it wasn't his baby. What was he to do? Was he to divorce her? Kick her out for being unfaithful? Joseph was a kind man and didn't want to shame Mary, so he thought he would quietly divorce her and not make a fuss of it. But she was not for him. But then, while he was thinking through what to do, an angel appeared to him in a dream, and we read, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. 'A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Mary was carrying God's own child, given to Mary by God himself. And Joseph was to take both Mary and the child as his own, and he was to name the child Jesus. We saw last week that the child would be called God with us, Emmanuel. But now Joseph is told to give him his personal name. He was to call him Jesus, a name which in Hebrew means to deliver or rescue. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins, said the angel in Joseph's dream. Jesus is the promised deliverer. He is the promise delivered. The restoration of that beautiful relationship of men and women with their Creator that we saw in Genesis before they sinned is now to be seen in a relationship with Jesus himself. Let's look at that passage that Sarah read to us from the beginning of John's Gospel. It's speaking of Jesus and calls him here the Word, the promise spoken by God so long ago. The promise is this person, Jesus. The Word is made flesh in the man Jesus. But the Word is also God himself. He was in the beginning. He made all things. He brings life and light to men and women. Jesus is the man who is both fully man and fully God. If you read through the Gospels, you see how everything that Jesus says or does has the stamp of God himself upon it. In all we see him do in the Gospels, he brings life and light to all he has contact with, though not everyone accepted him or could see that. And then at the end, when he was crucified and put to death by the Roman soldiers, that life burst forth again when Jesus rose from the grave, alive again to go on giving life and light to all who will receive it. And that word receive is a key that opens a door. In verses 11 and 12 we read, "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." How does God's promise work? How can you or I be forgiven our sin, have a relationship with God? We do so by receiving Jesus, by accepting him for who he is, by believing in him to save us from our sin and from ourselves. Remember, sin is the small word with I in the middle. In receiving Jesus, we ally ourselves to him like the first disciples did, to follow him and to learn from him. We become his disciples. But there's much more than that. What we find when we receive Jesus is that we become part of a new family. We are born into God's family and adopted by him as his children in a family relationship with God as our Father. As we pray in the Lord's Prayer, he becomes our Father in heaven. Or rather, we become his children and are able to call him our Father. His sons and daughters, fully accepted by him, saved from our sin and its effects by Jesus who saves us. To all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. We're so conscious of family at this time of year, and perhaps more so this year than for some others. Christmas is a time of family coming together, the relationships that matter so much to us. I heard on the radio this week someone say that humans are made for relationship. And that's so right. And this has been a year when those relationships have been perhaps more distant, at arm's length, or elbow length if you touch elbows. And we may not have seen our loved ones in the flesh for some considerable time. And maybe you hope that it will be possible to see them this Christmas, if the COVID rules allow it. I hope it will be. But what about our relationship with God? Where are you on that relationship? The promise of God was to restore that relationship. And as we've seen this morning, he kept his promise by sending Jesus. To claim on that promise, you must receive Jesus. So the question is, will you receive him? Have you received him? Last week, I said that the wait for the COVID vaccine was a parable for the wait that the Old Testament men and women had for the fulfillment of God's promise. But in thinking about it some more this week, I think there's an even stronger parallel with what we're talking about this morning. This week, the vaccine has arrived at the doctors and is even now starting to be given out. The vaccine will save us from the pandemic we've lived with all year. Lockdowns and tears will become a thing of the past. We will be able to visit our friends and see a full return to life. But you will only have immunity from COVID if you choose to take the vaccine. But for all sorts of reasons, some are saying that they won't take it. They're saying it's poisonous. It alters your DNA. I don't trust the scientists. It's a big trick. It's not safe, etc., etc. But if the government and the NHS and everyone else is so keen to overcome this virus and stop it killing more than the 62,000 it already has, is it likely that they would permit and encourage something so hazardous and dangerous to be given to everyone in the country? A look at somewhere like the BBC News website will quickly show how these reasons and excuses do not have any basis in fact and truth, but are rumours and fake information. It is in taking the vaccine that COVID will be overcome. And I thought, what a perfect parallel that is with how people react to Jesus. People can make all sorts of excuses and reasons for not seriously considering Jesus and not receiving him. But it is only if we receive him that we can gain all the benefits of God's promise. There is a choice we have to make. Just as the whole problem of our sin and broken relationship began with a choice, and the man and the woman chose to disobey God, so restoration of that relationship and forgiveness of sin also comes about by each person making a choice. As we choose to receive God's promise, or to carry on bearing the burden of guilt and unforgiven sin in our lives. Which way have you chosen? Which way will you choose? This Christmas could be the best Christmas ever if you receive God's gift to you. Or it could be just the same or worse as any other. God's promise is for you. If you would like to talk more about these things, then please email me using the contact link on the homepage of the church website. On behalf of the church leadership, I wish you and your family and friends a blessed and peaceful Christmas. And may you know the promise of God to be yours in your life.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for this time of year, for the reminder of your faithful promise in sending Jesus to be our Saviour, our guide and our Lord. Give us faith to receive him and respond to your love towards us. Be with those we love and keep us until we meet again. And may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen.
We have come to an end of our service today. Many thanks to all of you who contributed to it. In this coming week, let's reflect on the magnitude of love that was manifest through Jesus Christ. I would like to end reading Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, no things present, no things to come, no powers, no height, no depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Have a blessed week.